Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the Life Investigated podcast today on this November the 16th, 2024. Subject of the podcast today is the gang mentality. Now, many of you may assume that I'm getting ready to talk about your criminal gangs, your Bloods, your Crips, your MS-13, so on and so on, or your outlaw biker gangs, which they all will fall into this podcast at some point. But I'm not just talking about your street gangs and your criminal activity gangs. I want to address the gang mentality this morning and more aspects of our lives than what we may want to realize or what we may want to admit. So I also want to talk to you today about the gang mentality in the church, the American church. I want to talk to you about the skewed thinking that the church has led people to believe that we have to have in order to be part of the right part of the body of Christ and to know that we have an eternal destination, and how people in congregations are manipulated every Sunday morning without realizing they are being manipulated. I also want to talk to you about the gang mentality in politics. If you have watched any of the politics in the last year, year and a half, since the races for president and the Senate started heating up, if you can't tell there's a gang mentality in politics, I don't know where you're being. And along the same lines as this, let's talk about the gang mentality in the media. Talk about a gang. Talk about a gang, some of them anyway, that if they could come out or come through the television set or your podcast or through YouTube or any other media that they like to use, if they could have the ability to come out of that studio and directly into your home, they would jerk you up and tell you what a scumbag you are and have you thrown in prison for having a different opinion than they do in the media. And certainly we will talk about the street gangs. So let's start out very briefly, because it's not really the entire focus of today's podcast about the street gangs. I need to do one and bring out some more information on that. But first of all, I want to read to you a definition, if you will, of what a gang is. Rather than going to the dictionary and or using my thoughts on what a gang is, I thought this morning I would go on the AI, the artificial intelligence media, and see what AI had to say about a gang mentality and see if I even remotely disagree with it. And the version that I use of AI, it gave me two different definitions of a gang mentality. I'm not talking about what a gang is necessarily. I'm talking about what the mentality of a gang is. So this is what AI had to say. A gang mentality refers to a mindset or behavior pattern that emerges when individuals within a group prioritize loyalty, conformity, and group identity over independent thought or moral considerations. It often involves intense solidarity among members who may feel a strong sense of belonging or purpose within a group. This mentality can lead to a group think, that's one word, where decisions are made based upon the group's collective values or norms rather than rational analysis or ethical considerations. In many cases, a gang mentality can manifest in aggressive or destructive behavior, as members may pressure each other to conform to group rules, even if those rules involve illegal or harmful actions. This mentality can be seen in various types of organizations, not just criminal gangs, but also in certain sports teams, political movements, are even social circles where conformity and loyalty are highly valued. And that's where I'm going to put the church aspect in, is under the social circles. The dangers of a gang mentality include the lack of accountability, as individuals may feel shielded from responsibility due to the group's collective actions. It can also create a toxic environment where alternative viewpoints are silenced. Uh-oh. We've seen that in politics lately and in the media. And unethical behavior is normalized or justified. Wow. I have to give it to AI in that circumstance. I could not have said it better myself as to what I was processing and thinking, and the thought process behind this podcast and addressing this particular subject. So, again, very briefly this morning, street gangs, your outlaw gangs, your criminal elements. Let me say this, folks. John Q. Citizen, get your head out of the sand. We have had a gang issue for many years in this country, and it's getting worse. We have new, more violent, radical gangs moving into the United States of America, and primarily in response to the open borders on not just the South, but the North also. None of the media, even including conservative media, are really giving you true facts on the northern border, because the southern border is the hot topic, political topic especially. And yes, there are more illegal criminals coming across the southern border than most likely there are the north. My concern on the northern border is some of the more organized criminal element, as far as gangs come, are coming in from the north. And they're wanting to, they're smart. They're smarter than the normal criminal element that was released from a Venezuelan prison or a Brazilian prison or anywhere else down through South America. These ones coming through the north are a little more polished, I should say. And they want to go unnoticed, and they're probably more organized, which in effect makes them more dangerous for the United States of America. Now, I have noticed here in my little small corner of Southwest Virginia, I've been noticing more gang members as individuals out in stores and on the street. I've noticed them at traffic lights. Look over into a vehicle and I recognize some of the symbols, some of the tattoos and signs that they have. And so I can tell you, even this week, I have noticed an uptick here in my corner of Virginia, which is more or less a small rural area, with the exception of one major university that has an influence in the area. But here's what you need to do, John Q. Citizen. You need to recognize there's a threat. You can't deal with a threat of any kind until you recognize there is a threat. And once you recognize the threat, you have to have a plan to deal with the threat. You need to shore up the security on your homes. Listen to me. Home invasions are getting ready to increase significantly. I'm not talking about a burglary. I'm talking about a home invasion where a violent gang members come for either initiation purposes, or they're looking for resources, or frankly, sometimes just something to do. And they'll come in knowing a home is occupied. They'll come in with the intent to harm the occupants within and to take whatever is of value when they leave behind the destruction, if you happen to still be alive, which would be, if you allow these scumbags to gain entry into your house, probably not a whole lot of survival for a directed home invasion. So you've got to start preparing. You've got to start protecting yourselves. You've got to be more situationally aware. You need to put more physical security measures on your home, and you cannot get enough security measures on your home. You need to pull out the shotguns, make sure they're dusted off, make sure you've got some fresh ammo, and remember, and that you remember how to manipulate that weapon. And we have the issue of keeping weapons stored safely away from children especially, but yet have the need to have accessibility to that weapon in the event a home invasion or some other crime begins to occur directed against you. So you have to make some decisions there. We can talk about that another time as far as how to store and keep your weapons safe but yet accessible. Get your head out of the sand, and I'll leave the street gang mentality at that one. Now let's go on to the one subject that probably most people that would be inclined to listen to one of my podcasts is the church, the American church. And so some of you who have listened to my podcast have known for quite some time that I am very dissatisfied and very critical of the American church model. It has become a weak-kneed, politically correct propagation point for whoever and whatever is given the most money are getting the church and are the pastors and leadership the most attention, and what will fulfill the lust of their flesh. That's what the American church model has turned into. As it started turning into that, then the ones who were resisting what was called some of the New Age theology, or the name it and claim it, or the sloppy agape doctrines, or the hyper grace doctrines, or even the extreme fundamentalist legalistic doctrines. This is a touchy subject that nobody really likes to address at its core value. The bottom line is here, no matter what type of denominational or independent or interdenominational church you are in, after a while, the church itself tends to adopt a gang mentality. Remember what some of the definitions were of a gang mentality. It's a mentality where the group rules and everybody conforms to the group. It involves a group thinking and no independent thinking. And it goes to the thinking that we're right and everybody else is absolutely wrong. Now, fundamental Christians, especially fundamental evangelical Christians, will tell you, well, I have the authority of the written word of God on my side. I have the authority to stand on the written word of God that it is absolutely true and nobody can argue it. And there have been points in the ministry of times past, for even myself, I had that gang mentality when it came to my Christian points of view and values. And I'm not saying the Christian point, the fundamental Christian point of values and ethics and the view of the Bible is wrong. I'm just saying we don't always interpret it and present it correctly because we think we are absolutely right. I've heard people say, I'm standing on the Word of God, but yet they don't really define what part of the word they're standing on, and what is the valid reason for standing on it. Is it because of some little pet peeve they have against somebody else in the church or somebody else in the neighborhood or what they're seeing on TV and the news or who knows what it is? Generally speaking, I've found that every church develops a mentality based on the people who think they're in charge, and the people who want to be in charge, and the people who think in that particular case for that particular church knows better than anyone else. That's a gang. That's a gang mentality. With churches, I've been in churches and I've heard churches and I've heard pastors. I've heard them say, if you don't believe our way, you're wrong. I've heard some say, if you don't believe our way, you're going to hell. I've heard some say, if you don't come to my particular church, if you're not a member, not the body of Christ, but they'll say, if you're not a member of my church, then you are in danger of going to hell or losing your salvation, or many will say you were never saved, etc., etc. That's a gang. That's a gang mentality that's being propagated within the Christian church. Most folks I've found can't, even though they say they stand 100% wholeheartedly on the Word of God, really can't even tell you, quote you one scripture in its correct form. They might quote you a part of a scripture and then a part of another scripture. I have found the people who shove the Ten Commandments down one's throat do not even know where to find the Ten Commandments in the Bible that they say they trust and believe in 100%. So the mentality exists of a gang, and in my opinion, that gang mentality exists in every church in the world, and especially the ones in the United States of America. We are so far from a mission of building the kingdom of Jesus Christ. His commission, if you read your Bible, you will find that the commission, when he went back to heaven to join the Heavenly Father, his commission was to build his kingdom. It wasn't to build a church building. It wasn't to build a church denomination. It wasn't there to build a doctrinal emphasis on any one point of view. It was to build his kingdom. Are the churches in America really doing that? No, I don't care how arrogant you are as a pastor or as a board of elders, or some of y'all calling yourself just group leaders, you don't have enough stamina to stand up and say, hey, I'm in charge. You try to hide it because you're actually a little coward, quite frankly. Most boards and most overseers of denominational and even independent are just a bunch of cowards. When they get out and get confronted in the real world, they lose their tenacity, I have seen. So what do we do about it? What do we do about the gang mentality in our churches? Well, my thoughts are, and this is my thoughts for the Patriot trainer here, is first thing we do is do what the Bible says when it comes to remembering Jesus Christ in the communal meal. He said, before you do this, examine yourself. And I don't think the only time that we should be examining ourselves is when we are taking a communion meal. I think that applies across the board every day for everything. Everything that we do, we should be examining ourselves, our motives, and our intents before we do that thing. And I think if we would take the time to step back and do realistic self-examination, we'd probably change a whole lot of things that we do in life, would be my guess. And once we self-examine, then we actually dissect the Word of God. If you call yourself a Christian and believe you're a fundamental Bible believer, you're not just to read the Bible. I hear all the time, read your Bible, read your Bible, read your Bible. Well, the Bible itself says to study, to show yourself approved as a workman of God. I've had people when I used to pastor, "Oh, pastor, I read three chapters or I read five verses in Matthew 1 this week," or something, expecting an accolade of some kind, a pat on the back. Well, big hairy deal. I mean, you probably read 930 pages of one of the fiction novels or Harry Potter or something, you know, or some satanic book, or and then you think God's supposed to be impressed about you read three chapters or three lines, and what you say is your fundamental right and obligation and your fundamental belief. No, you get up and you listen to the gang mentality preached by church leadership, and a congregation buys into it and says, "We're the right ones." And I've noticed, and I've been guilty of this too, as both an evangelical and Pentecostal pastor in the past. We've criticized people like the Mormons, the Jehovah's Witnesses, the Seventh-day Adventists, the Catholics even. Now, I don't agree with any of those guys. But we've called them cults and gangs and everything else, and they probably are, quite frankly, to some extent. But we are too. The evangelical church is the most legalistic church out there, and it really does exist on a gang mentality. All right, I've beat that horse. Let's go to the politics. My, oh, my, oh, my. You talk about the gang mentality. We've got it going on in politics, right? You're either Republican, independent, libertarian, or an enemy to the state. I don't know. I mean, you in politics, if you try to participate in it beyond a vote, you're definitely going to be forced to adapt a gang mentality one way or the other. The leaders of your political parties are not going to allow you to be a middle of the road political supporter. They will all tell you why their party or their platform is exactly right for your life. Well, let me just say something. I've got some age on me, and I've lived a lot of life. And I still don't always know what's best for me. And if I don't know what's best for me, how can a complete stranger standing on a platform somewhere running his mouth or her mouth because they think they're somebody special, how can they tell me what's good for my life? Do I accept the fact that if I pray to the God that I believe in, that He may answer me? I accept that fact that when I pray, He may give me an answer. Now, I've had theologians say, well, when God doesn't answer you, He's still answering you. That could mean no, or it could mean a delay. Well, no, when I need an answer, I need an answer. I don't need something hypothetical. I need an answer. When I need to know what's best for my life, I need an answer. So if I'm sick in body, I need to know, I need an answer on what the best treatment would be. I don't need silence. Or I don't need it, and I don't know, I need the best answer to treat that illness. So politicians want to give us answers based on what they think you want to hear and what they think will get them elected and what they think will get their coffers built up, kind of just like a pastor and some pastors. Now, I'm not criticizing all you pastors. But a whole lot of you need to take some re-examination time. So politics, gang mentality. We're it, we're right, nobody else has got to say so, even in a democratic republic. Now, let me just say this. I am satisfied with the election results of the presidential and the national elections in the United States of America. But that doesn't mean these guys are right. It doesn't mean they have all the answers. And it doesn't mean every policy that they will try to implement will be the best for the world. You see, I have to, in this world, I have to coexist with everybody. And I don't believe in all this tree-hugging garbage and all this nonsense. And I believe in standing your ground for what your principles are and what you feel is right for you. As long as you're being honest and ethical with yourself and your presentation is honest and ethical. If you're using a political platform just to gain popularity or finances and you don't really have any ethics, nor do you even know what you're talking about, you're just making wild accusations because it's the other side, then my prayer would be that God would just shut your mouth like it was full of concrete. You got no business having a platform, whether you're a politician, a preacher, or anybody else. You've got no business having a platform. If you're not going about it with true conviction, whatever your platform is, if you are not after that platform in true conviction to yourself, to your society that you say you are representing, and if you say you're a Christian or a religious person of any kind to your God, which there again, I can only accept for my God, I can only accept Christ Jesus as my God. Doesn't mean you do, though. And I realize that. So what about the media? You know, the media is probably more vicious than any of these outlaw gangs that I talked to you about. No, they don't break into your home and they don't rape you and murder you, steal from you in that respect. The media does steal from you. One thing they steal from you is your peace of mind. The media has such a gang mentality, whether you're listening to a left-wing media, a right-wing media, or one that's supposedly in between, if there is such a thing, they're stealing your peace of mind from you because they don't report facts. They report opinions and movements and what's beneficial for their gang. You see, when a street gang goes out and commits criminal activity that results in financial gain, they are doing that for the financial well-being of the group, of the gang. And it's the same with the media. They do it for their financial well-being and for the well-being of the platform that is letting them get up and tell lies to put you in fear and to create hate. And of course, the politicians do that. So you can see how they're all kind of interrelated. The one thing I've kind of determined in life is that everything is interrelated. I'll use the example of, unless you're an electrician or a contractor of some kind or study, you know, trade school and everything, you probably don't, and I don't can't say that I'm an expert on it by any means. But I want to use the theory of Ohm's Law. When George Ohm's came up with this theory some back in the 1800s about the interrelation of voltage, current, and resistance when it comes to electricity, without getting into sidetracked into a study of Ohm's Law, this is what I want to say. Mr. Ohm's decided in his theoretical dissertation that voltage, current, and resistance are the major attributes of electricity. And he said, if you change the properties of one, you have changed automatically the properties of the other two. So if you change the amount of voltage coming through a current, then you've changed the resistance. Or you've you've changed the current in some manner. So they're all interrelated. And I think that's a good life lesson. Life is interrelated. When one aspect of one person's life changes, then it changes the aspect, or in theory, many other lives. When someone does something very harmful to you as an individual, unless you have no friends, no family, and you're living in a cave somewhere and nobody has any concern about you whatsoever. If somebody commits a crime against you, for example, in theory, it changed the attributes of all the people that love you, know you, and are concerned about you. In theory, what John Q. Citizen makes a decision to do today in Russia could very well change the attributes that I have in America, and vice versa. America says we're the leader of the free world, which is not really true and not been true for a long time, but it's definitely not been true within the last 3.5 years. When I make a decision, I affect the attributes of many other things in life. We can't help it. Everything is actually interrelated, and I'm of the opinion that's the way God created existence. He created existence. I'm not just saying human beings. I'm saying when God created existence, He created it all to be interrelated. And when one changes in aspects, another something changed. So here we are, the gang mentality. We've addressed briefly the criminal street gangs, the church gangs, the political gangs, and the media gang. As I said a while ago, the media is probably the most vicious gang out there because they have your attention. They have the platform to affect millions of people within just a few seconds of lies or of wrong motives or of just simply ignorance, their own ignorance. I mean, no street gangs can go out and perpetrate a lot of crimes, yes, but they don't have the value to the infrastructure to affect and kill people and change the courses of their life as the media does in 1 5-minute segment on national and international news. So you talk about a gang and they know they have the power. The media knows they have the power. What can we do about that? We can put them out of business. Just stop listening to them. Stop supporting the products that they advertise. They'll go out of business. Might take a while, but they'll go out of business. We don't really need it anymore. Not with today's electronic society. We just don't really need the media as we have known it in the past. They're nothing more than an outlaw street gang. That's all the media has turned into. But anyway, that's today's thoughts from the Patriot Trainer here on the LifeInvestigated.com podcast. If you find this interesting, intriguing, or just simply boring, well, if you find it boring, you're not going to share it with anybody. If you find any intrigue in it, if you find any interest in it, or anything of any value, then share it with somebody else. LifeInvestigated.com is the audio podcast. That's my platform, so Facebook can't shut it down like they tend to do me off of their page all the time. I'll see you next time.